Take your Bible this evening and turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3 is probably a familiar scripture, and I know we've preached from it before. I believe the message will be from a slightly different angle tonight, as we know the Word of God is able to touch our lives and speak to our hearts in many different ways. Somebody has said there's only one interpretation, but there are many applications. And of course, that's very true. There's one interpretation of the Word of God, and we need to be careful in interpreting it correctly. But we can apply it to our lives in many different ways. And portions of Scripture, such as Philippians chapter 3, are filled with great truth that we can apply to our life. And so I trust that this message will be a blessing to you this evening. And, of course, we have the title in the bulletin, Are You Living by the Rules? Sometimes we may think, well, we're Christians, we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not by works, and so we don't have to live by rules, we live by grace. And certainly we do live by grace, we walk by faith and not by sight, and we need to recognize and realize that. We also live in a country and a culture which is a, if it feels good, do it. No real restraint, just if you feel like it and that's fine, then that's great. There's many things that people decide and determine because they feel like it. Well, I just feel like doing this, this is what I'm going to do. And they think very little about what the implications are sometimes. And they just think, well, if I want to do it, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. If I don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. And so it's really a scourge on a society, I believe, that that's the way people live many times, not by principle, but by feeling. And people just do things, like I said, just whether they feel like it or not. The thought of living by rules may make us think of being a child in school or at home and thinking, well, I can't wait till I'm done so I don't have to have rules anymore. Well, we soon find out that whether we live at home or in our own place, there's rules to follow. And whether we are at school or whether we are working, there's rules to be followed, and so on. And so, rules are a part of life. Games have rules. People want to say, well, I'm just going to go play baseball. Well, you got to follow rules in baseball. There's certain rules and there's umpires to enforce those rules and so on. And we may sometimes think they're not enforced correctly, but there's rules. There's rules in games, even board games that we may play at home. You may get together with some family and friends, say, we're just going to pull out this game, we're going to play this game. Well, they have rules. I remember a number of years ago, I decided that, my wife, we bought a game of chess, and I thought, well, this would be great. We'll play chess. And Carolyn said, well, I never played chess. So I said, oh, it's okay. I'll show you how to play it. And we started to play the game, and I took my, little horse at night, and I jumped over and moved it in an L shape. She said, you can't do that. I said, yeah, I can't. I can do that. That's the rule. That's allowed. She said, well, you never told me that that was part of the rules. I could have done that before. And she was upset because she didn't know the rules. We've never had a game of chess since. Now I have to play with my kids. But rules. There's rules in games. It doesn't matter what you're doing, there's rules. Schools have rules, of course, and the workplace has rules. And even though our society is getting away from rules in a lot of ways, there's still rules to follow. There's the rules of the road. And we have to study those rules and know what those rules are. And there's speed limits and there's stop signs and there's yields and there's roundabouts. We have to know how to follow the rules for those things. And so we have to realize that rules are definitely a part of life. Everywhere and everything seems to have rules to follow. We can't escape them. And though we often think of rules as being annoying and taking the fun out of things, they really make things run smoother. If people didn't follow the rules, then things wouldn't work out very well. My wife and I, again, we were playing the game Skip Bow, and we thought, we're going to change the rule. We're going to make a different rule so that if you ever played the game, you start with one, you have to go to 12, and then when that pile's done, you set it aside, you have to get rid of your piles, and the piles in the middle go to 12. And so we said, it would be a lot easier sometimes. There's a 10 on there and you have a 9, not an 11. Why don't we just go, it doesn't matter which direction you go as long as it's the next consecutive number up or consecutive number down. That didn't work. Those rules didn't work. We tried to add a new rule and it didn't work. And the game just, I don't know what happened to it, but we ran out of cards, I think, before we ran out of the cards that we needed to use on the table. And we still didn't have the piles completed. And so the fact of the matter is that rules, although they sometimes seem a nuisance, actually caused the game to run better. They caused life to go better. If there were no rules on the road, some people drive like there are none. There's accidents. There's problems because of the lack of rules. And so they're a vital part of our society. And we need to realize the need for them in our life. A rule is defined as being, and the word for rule in our text in Philippians chapter 3, which we'll get to in a moment, verse 16, the word rule means a standard of faith and practice, a boundary or a line. Last week we heard in the evening service about building walls in our Christian life, and really a lot the same thought that we could think of. But Philippians chapter 3, and we'll start reading at verse 12, and we'll read down to verse 21. So follow along with me as I read tonight. The Bible says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Look at verse 16. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which so as ye have for us an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." So I draw our attention to verse 16, which says, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." The question tonight with the message is, are you living by the rules? Now let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible that we have that is a guide for our life. We thank you, Lord, as many have described it, as being an owner's manual, Lord, for our life. And it tells us how to live successfully in this life, how to know you, how to please you, how to know that we have eternal life. Lord, there's so many things in your word and so many practical truths that would help us in how we need to live our lives on a day-to-day basis. And so as we think of these things tonight, I pray that you'd help us to see where we need to apply these truths to our life that would help us to live successful Christian lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we think about rules. Again, the alternative to living by rules is to live by our feelings. And again, we live in a society that has been taught largely, if it feels good, do it. It's okay, just live by situation ethics, not by an absolute standard. It's the way many people to choose their lives, but it's not a successful way to choose to live. We may not like to admit it, but as we said about rules in games and so on, rules are helpful for life and society. Though they may seem to be an inconvenience, they are, in fact, for our good. Really, rules help in deciding things. They take a lot of decisions out of decisions. You know, if you live by a principle, then when a situation comes up, you apply that principle, your decision's already made. You don't have to make a decision in the heat of the moment or in the emotion of the moment. You say, this principle fits this situation in life, and I've already determined that I'm going to live by this principle of life, and so therefore, there's no emotion in the decision to say, well, should I or shouldn't I? The decision's been made. It's made by the fact that you determine to live by that principle, of course, hopefully, from the Word of God. We have a Christian, in the Christian life, we have rules. And we say, but we're saved by grace through faith. We don't have to worry about keeping rules. That is true. Our salvation is based upon what Jesus Christ has done and not upon what we do. As far as that goes, we receive God's gift of salvation as a gift, and it's not based on successful adherence to rules. But God says we are given rules, we are given instruction, we are given commandments in His Word by which we are to govern our lives, by which we are to live our lives. Because Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10 goes on to say, "For we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God said there's some things that are right to do that I've already ordained that you as a Christian, you ought to walk in that way and in that path. Many of the problems in the Christian life come about because we decide to circumvent the rules of God's Word and live by our feelings or by our own decisions. Many decisions are made easier once we determine to live by principle and not feelings. In our text here this evening, I think we see some things that rules will help us in our Christian life. I think verse number 12 tells us that rules are needed because we aren't perfect. You see, it says in verse 12, Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." I haven't arrived yet. You know, if we were perfect, why would we need to have someone tell us what rules to do? Because we would automatically do what is right all the time. But we are not perfect. We are prone to sin and departure from God and departure from the righteous path. The songwriter said in that great old hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." We are prone to that way. The old nature is tempted and it's drawn away. James tells us that we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" If that wasn't the case, if our heart was perfect and if our heart was always right, then we wouldn't necessarily need rules to live by because we'd always do the right thing. But Paul says, "I haven't attained. I'm not perfect." As a matter of fact, he said in Romans chapter 7, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." He said that in verse 18 and verse 24 of the same chapter. He said, "O wretched man that I am." And because we are sinful, because we are prone to sin, because of our old nature which still is with us, we need rules. We need God's principles. We need those commandments of the Lord in our life to keep us on the right track. You know, if the Apostle Paul said that he was wretched and that he was find it difficult to do the right thing, how much more you and I? If we're honest and diligent by nature, we wouldn't need rules to live by, but we aren't. We're sinners and we are easily led astray. So therefore, rules are needed because we aren't perfect. Also, I think we see here in verses 13 and 14 that rules give us goals. He said in verse 13, he said, "I don't count myself to apprehend it, but I'm reaching forward." Verse 14, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling." Paul had a goal. How did he know what he was aiming for? Because he had the principles of God's Word to say how he ought to live his life. And he said, "That's what I'm aiming for. I'm aiming for obedience to the Word of God, the obedience to what God has laid out for me in His Word." He spoke of his goal as being knowing God more intimately in verse number 10, of knowing God's power in his life and being made conformable to the image of Christ. But he would accomplish that goal, according to verse 16, by walking the same rule. He said, "I'll get to where I want to go as a Christian by following the principles that are established in my life that come from God's Word. And by living by those things, therefore, I will get to my destination that I desire to go in the Christian life." Again, we're not talking about him earning his salvation here, but he's talking about, listen, I want to be who the Lord wants me to be in my life. And I get to be the person who God wants me to be in my life by me following what God has laid out for me in His Word. Remember that Romans 8:29 says that God's goal and desire for each of us is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Jesus said, and we've referred to it as we've gone through the book of John, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Jesus said that while His earthly ministry was in process, in progress, His Father's rules were what He sought to follow. I want to do what the Father has set out for me to do. And we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so therefore we need to see what things God has in mind for us. What does God have lined up for me to follow those principles, whether through thick and thin, in good times and in bad, and follow through and do those things. The goal of every believer ought to be to please God. But how do we please Him? By taking the principles of the Word of God, the rules that He's laid out for us, and living by those things. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Not if ye love me, do as you please, but just mouth the words, Lord, I love you. That's the way a lot of Christians live their lives, isn't it? Lord, I love you. You're everything to me, but I don't feel like doing your will today. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Now, we wouldn't say those words, but that's the way we often live out our life. We say, Lord, I love you, but yet we don't keep His commandments. It's a strange thing, isn't it, to hear people speak of loving God but not giving heed to God's Word or seeking to obey Him. It really makes no sense. If I love my wife, then I'm not going to do things which annoy her on purpose just to annoy her. That doesn't make sense. And God has given us His Word, and He says, this is how I want you to live, and this is how I want you to follow me. And yet many Christians say, well, that's nice, Lord, but I really don't want to do that. But I love you. I'm just going to go and do my own thing. God has told us in His Word that we ought to do that which pleases Him. He's given us commandments and principles to live by, which will help us to accomplish the goal of pleasing Him. Deuteronomy 6:25 says this, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. What is He saying? This will be that which is pleasing in God's sight as God's people. Again, don't confuse this with working for salvation. We're talking about as Christians here that it's what God desires of us is to follow His Word and to live by the things that He has set. So rules give us goals. Rules are needed because we aren't perfect, and rules give us goals. But it's interesting and good to note that rules are the same for all of us. One of the great things that every child that has a sibling will say is, that's not fair. My brother or my sister didn't have to do that. You didn't make them do that. How come I have to do that? Well, as parents, we try and make everything equal. We try and do our best, and there's differences in children and so on. But, you know, the basic house rules are the same. It just doesn't seem like it sometimes that way from the perspective of when we're in that situation. But God, in His wisdom and in His Word, has given us the Word of God that's for all of us. And He says here in verse 15, let as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise, any be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. And then verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and walk, mark them, excuse me, which so as ye have us for an ensample. So He's saying there's a pattern to follow. There's a way to follow. There's rules that are the same for each of us. We all have the same Bible to guide our lives and to follow God with. If we try to play a game and we all have rules, but they're all different rules, it doesn't work out well. Like I said, that game of chess where my wife didn't think that I told her that rule, and we won't go there because we've tried to figure that one out several times, but we don't have instant replay, and so we can't replay the conversation that started before the game. But, you know, if I'm playing by one set of rules and she's playing by another set of rules, the playing field is not even. It's not equal. It's not fair. It's not right. But He says we're to walk by the same rule and mind the same thing. Rules really bring unity, and that's what He's saying in verse 17 and verse 15. He says, let's do this together, because we're all heading in the same direction together as believers. We all need to fulfill what God has for us, and we all need to follow the rules that God has laid out for us in His Word. It's helpful because we can learn those things together, and we can encourage one another to follow. What is best for one is best for all when it comes to the rules to live our lives by. God is consistent. We see, fourthly, that rules keep us on track. In verse 16, we find this. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. We can so easily get blown off track in the Christian life. It's so easy to get buffeted by something that comes in our life, and the devil delights to sway people and to get people off track one way or another. But if we're living by the Word of God and seeking what God has for us in His Word, then we're going to stay on track because we base our life on those principles, on those truths, on those rules that God has given to us. I've again mentioned this verse many times, but it's one that has become very dear to me as from the first time I remember hearing it. That's Deuteronomy 6 again, but verse 24, the Lord God commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord, our God, for our good always. So that's a wonderful truth. That's a wonderful treasure to be able to look at God's Word and say, God gave me this because it's for my good. God gave me this because it's for my benefit if I follow what God wants me to do in His Word. The rest of the verse says that He may preserve us alive as it is this day. I think of some of the temptations that we face in this life. The answers many times are just right there in plain black and white in the Scripture. How about alcohol? People say, and there's a lot of people today that say, you know, it's okay, Christians can drink and social drinking is okay and it's acceptable. And yet, where do we go? How do we determine that? Well, we go back to our guidebook, the Word of God. What does it say? Well, let's go back to the book of Proverbs and look at a couple of verses and get some principle here. Proverbs chapter 20. Because it's a temptation that is faced in our society today, and maybe somebody's invited to a party or they're invited to a situation, and then when they're presented a situation, they're there and all of a sudden alcohol is before them and say, here you go, have a drink, it won't do you any harm. What do we do? How do we make that decision in that heat of the moment situation? Well, we need to go back to how we've understood what God has given to us in His Word, that principle of His Word, which will help us to answer that temptation face to face. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Do we need to go further than that? Really, we say, God says, if you're deceived by alcohol, you're not wise. He's told us in other places that we need to be controlled by His Spirit, not by some alcohol, not by a drink. But look at chapter 23 of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verse 29. The Bible says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Who's got unnecessary pain, unnecessary confusion, unnecessary everything here? Well, the answer is in verse 30. They that tarry long at wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. In verse 31, a command, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. The principles of God's Word are stay away from it. So when you're faced with that, well, there's temptation here. We were on a vacation there a couple months ago, and everywhere, you know, it's an all-inclusive resort. Everyone says, here, have a drink. But it wasn't a problem because we've already established in our lives that this is the principle of God's Word. We're not tempted by that really face-to-face with it because we said, we already made the decision. I don't need to make the decision when the waiter is there saying, what would you like to drink? I've already made that decision. I'm living by a principle of God's Word, which has already made that decision for me. God's principles keep us on track. We see that very clearly. How about immorality? Well, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Is very clearly, thou shalt not commit adultery. Marriage is God's plan. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's wrong to look with lust, according to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. We know these things are principles, and so when the temptation is there, what do? We say, this is wrong because I remember God said it's wrong. It's a principle. It's already there. It's already laid out. I don't need to wonder if, and I don't need to say, well, I wonder if it'll be okay this time. No, God already told us. It's wrong. Live by the principles of God's Word. People get into trouble because they, in the heat of a moment and in the heat of compassion or a passionate situation, and their feelings are all off kilter, and then they say, oh, now what shall I do? Go back to the principles you set out in your life that are based on this book. It'll make a lot of decisions for you. You say, I already made that decision. It's as simple as even what we think about lying and fraud that goes on in society today. What does the Ten Commandments say? Thou shalt not bear false witness. God expects honesty from His people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, He talks about that. You know, there are no little white lies or acceptable things. We just need to understand. God says, here's the principle. Build your life on it. When you're tempted to tell a lie, you realize, no, that's wrong. Because God said it was wrong. I'm going to do what's right. How about being at church? Many people talk as if church attendance is just optional, but is that the principle that God has established in His Word? I don't believe so. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10 this evening. Hebrews chapter number 10. You probably know where we're going with this. In Hebrews chapter 10, it's not an unfamiliar portion of Scripture. I think it's important for us to realize God has our best interest in mind, and therefore He has established the church. And people say, well, I get my preaching online. I go to this, I listen to this person and that person. But does it replace the church? I don't believe so, not according to the Scripture. You say, well, they didn't have computers back then. They couldn't listen online. They couldn't even listen on the radio. Well, don't you think God's Word is a timeless book? Don't you think He knew all that would take place at some point in time, that we'd have the internet and we'd have radio broadcasts and so on? But verse 23 of Hebrews 10, He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us provoke one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He says, I've established the church, God says, and it's for your edification, it's for your encouragement, and it's for your fellowship. It's so that you can meet together, not only be challenged by the preaching, but challenged by one another, encouraged and edified by one another. And He said you should seek to be there even more often if you can, as you see the day approaching. It really shouldn't be in a situation where you say, well, should I go to church today or not? If it's a regular service and you're not working or you're not sick and can't go, and your car, it's not because your car's broke down and so on. I mean, there's always reasons that come up in life. But if you're just sitting there saying, oh man, it's 4 o'clock, church is at 6. Should I go tonight or should I not go tonight? I wonder. It's Sunday morning, it's our Saturday night. Should I set the alarm and get up for church or not? You know, if we live by the principles of the Word of God, that decision's already made. We say, that's right to do it. I'm going. Unless something makes it so I can't go, my intention, my plan is to go. See, we look at these, and these are just a few examples, but when Jesus was faced with temptation by the devil, when the devil said, turn these stones into bread, when the devil said, jump down from this pinnacle of the temple, when the devil said, worship me, and I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world, there was no problem in Jesus' mind. He said, the principle's already set. He said, it is written. Was he hungry, and would he have liked to have turned those stones into bread? He hadn't eaten for 4 days. He could have done it. But he said, the principle is, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm not going to do that. I worship the Lord and Him only. I'm not going to do what you say, devil, because I already have the principles of the Word of God. Christian, we need to know what God says and live by the principles of the Word of God, because when temptation comes, when questions come, we'll just say, you know what? It's already established. I already made that decision, and this is what I decided. And by God's grace, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to walk by the same rule. I've already determined that. I've already attained that rule. I've already come to that conviction, and I'm going to walk by the same rule, and I'm going to mind the same thing. We see that rules don't change. God's rules don't change. God's principles are unchanging forever. O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Our ideas and feelings, they're up and down like a yo-yo sometimes. Well, I don't know about this. Well, I think about this. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, we're up and down. Our mood changes. Our company that we're with changes, and that kind of changes. But, you know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God told the Israelites in Malachi chapter 4, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He is always the same. His principles don't change. He didn't say one thing, and then he say, oh, you know what? That was a mistake. I should never have made that rule. We'll go by something else now. God's Word is consistent, and the principles that He has given to us are unchanging. Why is it that Christians today, I often wonder why is it that Christians struggle with things that in ages past Christians knew? This is black and white. This is what God said, and I'm going to live it. And then later on people say, well, I don't know. Did God really mean that? Did God really say that? Did God change from then to now? What has changed? It's not God. It's not His Word. Yes, there were things that God gave to specific people for specific times, but the principles of God's Word are timeless. If God doesn't change, either those who've gone before were wrong when they said that was wrong, or we are. You know, we best check and see what God said and make sure that we are really understanding what the Lord has for us. Not a man-made rule, but a God-made rule. The ones that God has established in His Word. And if we determine it to be what God has established, then we best hold to it and live by it. Rules can avert disaster, according to verses 17 to 19 of our text this evening. Paul had to remind those people of some who had made shipwreck of their lives. They had gone off the track. Verse 18, he says, many walk of whom I have told you often and tell you now even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What Paul said, they didn't live by the same rule where to it they'd already attained. They let it slip. And we're told in God's Word to take heed lest at any time we let the things slip that we have established to be what God would have us to do. How many people have failed to follow rules in their life on a physical level and relating to some dangerous substance or something and been injured? We have workplace safety and all that kind of thing today, and sometimes people say, oh, it's okay, I don't need to follow those rules, and boom. Remember when we were in shop class and learning how to do welding, and you know, there's the acetylene and the oxygen and the old A before O, or up you go, right? I mean, there's rules. And if you do it the wrong way around, you could be subject to an explosion. And many Christians living without God's rules, not following God's rules, have destroyed their lives. Have they lost their salvation? Well, no. If they were born again, they haven't lost their salvation, but they sure lost a lot of other things. They've lost a lot of joy in their life. They've lost some peace and satisfaction and some rewards, and they've lost God's being pleased with their life. These people that were mentioned here began to mind earthly things rather than living by the principles of God's Word. It's a scary thing when we start to live by our feelings, because our feelings are so inconsistent, as we've already said. People get hurt and hurt others when they get their eyes off the principles of God's Word. If you don't believe me, just read the book of Judges in the Bible. It begins and ends by saying every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you look at the way Israel lived in those days, they had forgotten God's absolute commandments and they just lived by the way they thought. And it was a disastrous time. A disastrous time in Israel. And they were up and they were down. We're living in a day where this is coming to pass in our own society today, where Christianity at large is failing to live by principles of God's Word, and Christianity is up and it's down, and people are saying, oh, I love the Lord, and yet they're living in all kinds of things that the Bible is very clear are not right for Christians to do. Why? Because they've gotten away from the rules that God has given to us in His Word. We see lastly tonight that rules for life come from God. Verses 20 and 21, he says, "Our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Paul said, we look beyond this life. We look to the eternal one. We look to the Lord himself. You know, life is complicated at times. There's a lot of complications in life, and life doesn't always go according to the plans that we have and we think should be. But God says, just get out your instruction manual and see what I got for you. See how to get through those trials in your life. See how to get through those tests and those difficult situations, and how to work through them. What do? We need to get back to the rules. Get back to the principles of the Word of God that teach us how to live our life. And we'll find that even in the midst of the ups and downs of this life, we can remain constant. Why? Because God is there. And He's given us His Word that we may live our life successfully. As we choose to follow His Word, we'll find that life situations can be much more easily resolved. That consistent guidebook, the Bible, will direct us in ways that bring about success. Isn't that what God told Joshua when he was about to take over leading the children of Israel? And he was no doubt nervous about that. Moses had led the children of Israel through out of Egypt and through the wilderness wanderings and so on. And then his time was done. His time was time to go and meet the Lord. And Joshua was to take over. And Joshua was no doubt one concerned and worried, how am I going to do this? Well, God was there and told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God was telling Joshua, there's going to be some ups and downs leading this people. Giving them the promised land, there's going to be some things, but he told him in verse 9, "I am with you." And in verse 8, he said, listen, he said, "This book, let this book be your guide. This book will enable you to successfully do as I've called you to do." Isn't it the same in our life today, Christian? God has given us this book, the Bible. He's given us this book so that we can know the principles that will guide our life, the principles that will help us and sustain us throughout our life. Yeah, we need rules. We don't always like rules, but we need them because we're not perfect. They give us goals. They're the same for all, and they keep us on track. They don't change. They can avert disaster because they come from the Lord Himself. So I'd ask you tonight, are you living by the rules? If we don't live by God's rules, we'll lose sight of our goals, we'll get off track, and we'll be headed for disaster. Let's live by the Word of God.